Well, the title of today's message is He is Risen and So Will We. I'll say it again. The title is He is Risen, talking about Jesus, and so will we. So I'm going to read a Bible scripture about the resurrection, and it says this. It's from the book of Luke, and you should have it on your screens right now. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Please notice the women were up early. The men were probably still in bed. There we go. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. So these men must have been angels. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. So today we're celebrating and we're reminding ourselves that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Praise the Lord. But did you know, and you might not know this, but did you know if you are a follower of Jesus, then one day you will be resurrected as well? Jesus said this. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." What a mind-boggling promise of Jesus. And it's your future resurrection that I want us to focus on today and talk about for a few minutes. But firstly, let's look at Jesus and his resurrection. And I want to begin by asking a very important question. And here's a question. Maybe you thought about this question before. Have you ever wondered where Jesus went between Good Friday when he died and Resurrection Sunday when he rose again? Where did he go? That's actually a very good question. Where did he go during that time? Well, the answer to that question, as we're heading towards the resurrection, the answer to that question is we've got to go back to the cross and the conversation between the repentant criminal and Jesus as they were both on the edge of dying. You remember from Good Friday how Jesus was crucified with two criminals, one on his left, one on his right. One was hard-hearted and one was repentant. And there was this conversation between the repentant criminal and Jesus. And the repentant criminal said to Jesus as he was about to die, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, this is a remarkable statement, he says, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." So eventually, Jesus died, his body was laid in the tomb on Good Friday, but the spirit and soul of Jesus went to paradise. That is where he said he would go during that time. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, every person is a body, but we're also a spirit and we're a soul. When your body dies, that's not the end of you. You still continue to exist. So Jesus went to this place called paradise, and similarly on Good Friday, the spirit and soul of the repentant criminal departed his body and also went to paradise according to the promise that Jesus Christ had made to him. But then Sunday came, and so in response to the command of God the Father, Jesus' spirit and soul left paradise and came back for his body that was still lying in the tomb. But the repentant criminal, he remained behind in paradise while his body decayed here on earth. The criminal was not resurrected at that time. Only Jesus was resurrected 2,000 years ago. Jesus went first. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the soul and spirit of Jesus was reunited with his body. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And Jesus walked out of the tomb. As far as natural life was concerned, Jesus Christ had died. But then, in defiance of all natural laws that we are familiar with, Jesus became alive again because death could not hold him down. Jesus later declared, "I died, but I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Amen. All of you at home, that's a good place to say amen. Come on, shout it out. I can hear you. I can hear you. And although Jesus went back into his body, so his spirit and soul came back into his body, absolutely, but the resurrection changed his body. It was still his body, but it changed. Because when Jesus died, his body had been severely beaten and damaged and bruised beyond recognition. But when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he walked out of the tomb, not broken. He walked out of the tomb in strength and power, and he was transformed. And when you get resurrected, you'll be walking out in strength and power as well. Amen. The only evidence of the crucifixion on the resurrected body of Jesus was the scars in his hands and the wound in his side. And I believe that these scars were deliberately left there because they'll always be there for eternity as a constant reminder to us all of the overwhelming love of Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, after His resurrection, Jesus then appeared over 40 days to His followers on numerous occasions. Here's one very interesting one. One time, He joined two of His followers as they were walking along to another town called Emmaus. And they were discussing, and they were very sad and disappointed, depressed and in despair, really, because they were talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. They didn't expect that to happen. But Jesus came alongside and joined the conversation, but they did not recognize Jesus, although they knew him really, really well. And Jesus talked with them and discussed with things with them, but they still didn't even recognize him as he was talking. Because somehow he looked different. It was the same, but it was different. And yet, then at the end of the discussion, when they'd finished, they got to the house, sat down, they were breaking bread, and then suddenly the Bible says their eyes were opened, and they realized it was Jesus himself. And then just as they realized it was Jesus, something incredible happened. He just disappeared instantly before they ever realized. He just disappeared without going through a door. One minute he's there, the next minute he wasn't there. His body had changed. Another time, the disciples were meeting in a room to talk about what was happening. They'd locked the doors, locked the windows, and they were discussing Jesus. So here's these guys in a circle talking about Jesus. Then suddenly, in the middle of their room, in the middle of their circle, Jesus appeared. He didn't come through the door. He didn't ring the doorbell. He didn't send them a text message, "I'm coming." He just came. He didn't climb through a window. He just suddenly appeared right in front of them. And of course, that's in defiance of all the natural laws. And when the disciples then panicked and cried out in fear, thinking he was a ghost, Jesus made it clear that he was not a ghost. And how did he do this? He did it because he said, "Give me something to eat." And he ate it in front of him. I think it was a fish or something like that. Or maybe it was an Easter egg. No, I think it was a fish. These appearances of Jesus were not happening because he was doing miracles. They were happening because he was simply doing what a resurrected body could do. It was the same, but it was transformed. It was the same, but it was transformed. The resurrected body of Jesus was no longer limited by the physical laws of the world. And our Savior's resurrected body was now designed for another world. It was now designed to live in another place that was not part of this world that we live in today. Then finally, after those 40 days, Jesus went to a little mountain called the Mount of Olives. And then while surrounded by his disciples, he started just leaving the ground. He just descended right up into the clouds and just completely out of sight. He just disappeared. And that raises the second question. It's the same as the first. Where did he go? He went up. Where did he go? Where did Jesus go when he ascended? Was he going back to paradise where the repentant criminal was? Well, no, he wasn't going back to paradise. Paradise is a place for the souls and spirits of believers who have passed on. And in paradise, believers are waiting for their resurrection to come. And believers in paradise, they wait in joy and they wait in peace for the resurrection. Jesus actually told us where he was going. In the book of John, John 14, 2-3, Jesus said this, "There are many rooms in my Father's house. I would not tell you this if it were not true." Now listen to this, everybody. He said, Jesus said this, "I am going there to my Father's house to prepare a place for you." For you. "After I go and prepare a place for you," listen to this, he said, "I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am." That's a beautiful passage, beautiful scripture. Jesus ascended to God's place. Jesus ascended to God's place in order to prepare a place for you and for me. This place, God's place, this divine place, is the abode or the house of Almighty God. And since God fills the entire universe, what kind of house or place does God inhabit? What is it actually really like? The Bible also calls this same place the new heavens and the new earth. And in that indescribable place, Jesus is making sure there is a future place for you because you have decided to obey him and you've decided to follow him. And Jesus said one day he would come back again, and that day is fast approaching. It could be today. Are you ready? Now, in view of all that, let's look at this passage of Scripture closely. I've got another passage concerning your resurrection. This is what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we'll all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever." One day, the time of waiting will be over, and all those believers who have died are in paradise will come back with Jesus when he returns. That includes our friend, the repentant criminal who died on the cross. He's going to be resurrected, and they will all be raised to life to live forever. But the scripture continues. It says, "But we who are living, still living when Jesus comes back again, we're not going to miss out. We'll also be transformed, for our dying bodies will be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Praise God. Now, if you're like me and you like to think things through, you may be asking yourself, "Well, that's great, but how can God resurrect a body of a believer who died 2,000 years ago? That's a long time ago. For example, what about the body of our friend, the repentant criminal, who died on the cross at the same time as Jesus? Because he don't have a body in the grave anymore. His body would just be dust by now. There would actually be no body to resurrect. And what about people, I know this sounds silly, but what about people who get vaporized by a bomb? There's no body to resurrect. Or what about people, Christians, who get eaten by sharks? You know, in those cases, it doesn't appear that there's any body to be resurrected. There's nothing left for God to work with. So will they be resurrected, or are they going to miss out? These are the things I think about. Does anybody else think about these things? Yeah, absolutely. How can God resurrect people like that? Well, this is what I think. In the beginning, God made Adam from the dust of the ground. And he made Eve from the rib bone of Adam. God knows how to work with just a little. And somehow the Holy Spirit will gather our remaining dust, or maybe even our remaining atoms, and that will be enough to resurrect a person from the dead. Absolutely, nobody's going to miss out if they're a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we're going to be resurrected, and then we will be like Jesus. I described him a few moments ago. This is what the Bible says. Just as we are now like the earthly man, that's Adam, we remember him, we will someday be like the heavenly man. And on that day, we will be complete and ready for our new home, God's place, the new heavens and the new earth. Our resurrected bodies will be strong, they will be healthy, they will never decay or grow old, you'll never get wrinkles ever again. Our resurrected bodies will never have pain or sorrow. And maybe right now you're in pain, maybe you've got arthritis in your knees or your back. In your resurrected body, you will never have arthritis again. And you'll be able to eat whatever you want and you will never get fat. Come on, that's what we're all looking forward to. Yeah. Your body will be built and be saturated with the presence and the glory of Almighty God. Your resurrection from the dead will be the final step in God's redemptive work in you. Amen? Finally, the Bible says this, and this is, I want to finish with this, so I'm concluding now. What about life today? What about life today? Well, about today, the Bible says this. Although at this time, today, our bodies are dying, we are decaying, we are getting older, our spirits are being renewed day by day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a future glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Therefore, in view of the coming resurrection from the dead, in view of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back for you again, Jesus is coming to resurrect you and take you to God's place, in view of your future, I urge you as your pastor today, keep running the race. Don't give up. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Don't get too attached to the things of this world because it will soon pass away. Stay true to Jesus. And when that day of Christ's return comes, he will reward you with a powerful resurrection unto life. He is risen, and so will we. Can we just pray right now? Come on, put your hand upon your heart at home. And maybe you have never made your peace with Almighty God. And you've listened to this message today. And God is speaking to you and drawing you to himself today. I urge you to open your heart to Jesus and say, Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that I will belong to you. And when you come back again, you'll resurrect me. And so, Father, we just pray for people who are praying prayers like that. Lord, listen to this video. Lord, I just pray for people who are responding to you right now. Lord, as they're opening their hearts to you, I pray you'll wash them clean and make them born again. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody at home said, amen and amen.